Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Brandon Weikert. He is national security editor for the National Interest, as well as a fellow, a senior fellow at the Center for National Interest, as well as a columnist at Popular Mechanics. And I go to Brandon to guide me through a new race between geopolitical rivals. It is not artificial intelligence. It's well beyond that. It's called quantum computing. Brandon, a very good evening to you. Quantum computing requires constant updating to understand this language. The understanding I have, and I lay it out in front of you so that you can correct me, is what we're looking for is a faster computing power. And one way to achieve that is to put together something called a qubit, lots of qubits. And those qubits are capable of doing calculations much faster than the semiconductor computer I have in front of me.
Yep.
And there's a reason for that. So we come to the news of the moment. Microsoft says it has created a new state of matter to power quantum computers. This is the New York Times reporting. Microsoft says means there's hesitation. There's a contest between Microsoft and Google. We believe there are other players. We don't have a name for the People's Republic of China. We do know that Brandon and I discussed last week an assertion in Nature magazine from a lab, the Clarendon Lab at Oxford, where they had achieved communication between events, modules, that suggest quantum computing was successful. However, Brandon, there's a hesitation in the New York Times headline. Why? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thanks again for having me. I suspect the hesitation is because the reporters don't quite understand what they're talking about. And to be fair, I write about this stuff all the time. I talk to people in the field, and I even have trouble always keeping up with it, because quantum mechanics and quantum computing and the science of quantum or quantum science is it is a very difficult thing to wrap your head around. As we were just talking before we began, it's, you know, the ability of something to exist in two places at the same time. It's you know, the ability to switch between zero and one simultaneously. It is very difficult for people to understand. I think that's part of why the media doesn't really know quite how to say it.
I appreciate the effort, however, and what I've gleaned from this, I'm going to promote myself as the amateur reader here, is that the Microsoft scientists are pointing to what they define as a topological qubit. A topological qubit seems to be a distinction from the normal qubit that we're dealing with. So before we get into that, the qubit itself is the element that we talk about, and it must exist in a special state in order to function at all, either very small or very cold. Is that correct? And how cold?
Colder than space. It is extremely cold. And in the case of the Microsoft technology, Majorna 1 is what they're calling it. In the case of the Microsoft technology, it is about the size of your palm. And Bloomberg did a report on it recently in which they described it as being able to do the entire work of a lab very quickly in the palm of your hand.
What we have is a vision of the future in which computing power would be beyond my multiplication. I'm just going to leave it alone. All right. What we have then is Microsoft making a claim. What is the hesitation? Is that about this error frequency?
So, yeah, the issue here with quantum computing in general is understanding the results, because you're basically zero and one exist simultaneously. It has an error rate. Now, I don't know off the top of my head what the error rate is, but all of these quantum computing technologies have error rates that confuse people. The key thing here to understand, and this is where you get sort of into, you know, Joe Rogan was interviewing one of these people dealing with quantum, and they were explaining the possibility that you're actually seeing multiple universes when you're looking into these things, because you're looking at multiple possibilities and multiple probable outcomes, and then you have to figure out which is the one you're going with. That's part of the complex problem solving, but that's how it is able to rapidly solve very complex problems that even our ordinary supercomputers take very long times to resolve, if they ever can. But that also could lead to misinterpretation of data. That also could lead to error rates, because you're looking at all of these things at once very quickly. And so that is, I think, some of the issue with the technology. And certainly my colleague, Ash Rossiter, who's a professor who works a lot with quantum computing. He has a publication out in International Relations, which is a academic journal in which he's sort of pouring cold water on a lot of the claims of all these companies, saying that, yes, there is development, but people need to kind of cool it, because Microsoft is running around saying the quantum revolution is not in 25 years. It's in 5 to 10 years, and they're leading it.
If I understand correctly, what Microsoft has done is put together a semiconductor, which is what is driving my iMac so that I can speak with you, with a superconductor, which is a quantum device. Put those together, and they then cool everything down to 400 degrees below zero, and then ask it questions, and it calculates very quickly. That sounds very straightforward. Yeah. And no one else has done that yet. Do I read that correctly? This is new.
That is correct. They're calling it a topological core. And this is according to Microsoft. It's designed to scale to 1 million qubits on a single chip. And here's a little interesting tidbit. This Microsoft program, which is why I think there's probably something to their claims, this Microsoft program was done in conjunction with the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. So that's why I believe there's probably merit to the claims that Microsoft is making. And this is the third and final phase of a longer-term project Microsoft has been working on with DARPA.
And this is 20 years' work so far. Microsoft is satisfied with it. I have every reason to trust the company entirely when it makes a remark like this. It's not likely to risk error at this late stage. I want to state again, though, what I've learned from you in these times we've had this conversation. It's hard to picture this, but there it is. Information in a module, no matter what the distance is from the other module, appears simultaneously.
Yeah.
So you could put one module on Earth and the other module at the end of the universe.
That's right.
And the information would appear in both places instantly, not speed of light, instantly. Brandon, is it okay if I say that doesn't make any sense in the physics we're living with?
This is why Einstein refused to work in quantum when he discovered it. He called it spooky action at a distance. He wanted nothing to do with it. This is why Brett Weinstein or Eric Weinstein, one of the two Brett Weinstein brothers, has been for like 15 years saying that we need to upgrade our physics because we don't have a proper grasp on quantum. Think about the implications, national security implications of this. There's a reason that DARPA has its fingerprints all over this program.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about encrypted communications, massive quantities of data.
Weaponizing, yes.
Yeah. Brandon, this is why the Chinese want it, too.
Brandon Weichert of National Interest and Popular Mechanics. I'm trying to stay up. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.